Proverbs chapter 11, if you would please. Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs 11 tonight. Our series, Pondering the Path of Life, Pondering Your Path of Life. God wants to give us skill in living. A lot of people living in this day and time, they just simply don't have skill in living. That's a problem. And God wants to make us skilled, help us to be skilled, help us to have an understanding of life. And the more I look at this and the opportunity we have to gather every service, but here as we're considering Proverbs, I'm looking at it like a weekly reminder that we need to choose God's path of life. A weekly reminder that His way is best. His way is best. And last week we sang about that firm foundation, or we considered rather from God's Word, the fact that we stand on firm ground in the Word of God. And when the trials come, that we're not blown away by them because of what God's Word says. And so tonight I direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 11 and the first 8 verses here tonight. So it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. What do you think that's saying? The integrity of a man will show him what to do. The integrity of a young lady will show her what to do. See, integrity will guide you. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness does what? Delivereth from death. Righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall what? Direct his way. It shall direct his way. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, verse 6, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. In other words, all they were living for was right here, and when they die, it's all gone. They lost it all. Verse 8, the righteous is, say that next word with me, delivered. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. You know what that's saying? The righteous have trouble, but God delivers them out and puts the wicked right in trouble. The righteous are only acquaintances with trouble. The wicked are inheritors of trouble, long term. You're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble along in this life, but it's only for a short time. So tonight, with God's help, I'd like to preach this title, Directed and Delivered by Doing Right. Directed and delivered simply by doing what's right. Directed and delivered by doing right. May God bless the reading of His Word. As you're seated, we'll get into the message here this evening. Good to have Brother Ronnie Rice here again as well, evangelist, preaching the Word to the deaf across the states, across the world. Glad to have Brother Ronnie again. Good to have Brother Lynn Schuyler as well, and family with you. Good to have you here from Ponca City, assistant pastor there. Real blessing to have you men here with us tonight, your families. Well, little Trenton and I did a little walk around here today at the church property. He came for lunchtime. Angie was doing some projects related to the ladies' retreat. And so I took my lunch hour and we did a walk around, you know, management by walking around, seeing what needs to be updated, you know, seeing where, you know, we'd touch up some paint and things like that. So had him on the job and we were checking it all out. Got a big list, Brother Troy and Brother Ted. Yeah, amen. All right. Got a big list. We walked it mainly. We actually stayed outside just because it was so beautiful today. And so we walked along Blackwelder and and here beside the building, and then we crossed the street and went here to the north parking lot, the new north parking lot, thank God for that. And so we're walking along there, and I noticed the redbud trees there, and I said, "Hey, bud, do you know why this tree has the two ropes tied to it?" And he looked at it for a little while, kind of inspecting it, thinking. He said, "Well, they're holding it up." I said, "Well, kinda. It's kind of holding it up. I mean, it'd stand on its own." He said, "Well, it's whenever there's a storm, that way it doesn't get blown over." I said, "Hey, that's exactly right." I said, "Let me throw this in it as well." Of course, I'm just looking for a sermon illustration, and it was just happening right then. So I said, "It's there. Those guide ropes are there to help it grow up straight. And right now, Mom and Daddy have some ropes on you." He said, "I don't have any ropes on me." But we're trying to help him to grow right. If we can help our sons, just like you help your sons and daughters, you have kids at home and such, you have grandchildren, you want to have an influence on them. If we can just help them to do right. Did you catch that? If we could just help them to just do right. Was it Bob Jones Sr.? Do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right. Do right. Hey, listen, that's not just for kids, right? That's for everybody. If you would just do right, you're going to probably hear me say that about 100 times tonight. Do right. Just do right. If you'll just do right, things will turn out right. I didn't say easy, but right. Do right. Do what's right. If we could just remember in every given situation to do what's right, the Bible says here, God will guide you and He'll deliver you. Directed and delivered by doing right. Directed and delivered by doing what's right. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're tempted to cheat on a test? Those of you in school. You know that if your grade drops below a certain letter grade, that your parents are going to take away all kinds of privileges. The privilege to breathe. So it's going to seem. What are you going to do? I mean, you're going to be off the team. You're not going to be able to play ball. And you're not going to have your phone. You got to have your phone. You're going to have limited time with your friends. What are you going to do? I mean, and then a friend says, "Hey, listen, I can text you the answers, or I can help you in some way with the answers." What are you going to do? I hope and pray you'll do right. Do right. What are you going to do when you're tempted to lie on that reading report? I mean, you had so much to read. And by the way, they really shouldn't assign you that much to read. So you think. But you know how much that reading is weighted in your class, in your college class. And yes, you're here maybe for ministry, and tonight's college night. And yes, you're here for ministry, which has something to do with ethics. Isn't that right? It has everything to do with ethics. But you rationalize in your mind and you think, "Well, if I didn't have everything else to do, then I would read." But you're tempted. What are you going to do? I hope and pray you'll do right. Do right. What are you going to do as you're working that job and you discover that the customer overpaid you for the job? They paid you way more than, maybe not way more, but they paid you more than what was expected. And it seems as though it was an oversight on their part. What do? Do you just kind of let it slide, or do you bring it to their attention? Evidently, they don't need the money as much as you do. What do? I hope and pray you'll do right. These verses here that we've studied, and we're not going to take a lot of time here tonight to just reiterate every part of this. As you know, in our journey through Proverbs, that we're not just explaining every verse to great detail, but we're trying to deal with each of them to some extent just to make sure we're all understanding it. But I want you to notice as you look back in your Bibles now, how many different terms or words have to do with righteousness or some form of right or something that's connected to a right way. Look at verse 3. It talks about integrity. That means to be ethically sound or complete, whole. Upright, verse 3. It's used there. And also in verse 6, that means straight. Straight and right. Then righteousness. Did you notice how many times we said righteousness? Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. That means this. Blameless behavior. Blameless behavior. There ought to be some believers at the workplace who have blameless behavior. There ought to be people at school who have blameless behavior. People at church who have blameless behavior. That ought to be you. Blameless behavior. Listen, blamelessness is not just for the pastor. It's for the Christian. Living above reproach. Verse 5, perfect. That does not mean that we never sin. Obviously, that's not the case. But the word perfect simply means this, to be whole or sound, complete. Again, adjectives. Righteous in verse 8, that means innocent or guiltless. Wouldn't you agree with this tonight, that that's how our church ought to be characterized, that we ought to be a place of integrity and uprightness and righteousness, and right down the line, these are words that ought to define your life. Your life. Your life and your life and everyone's life here tonight, everybody's life ought to be reflecting that knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the opposite of that, the terms that are used there, and some of it is in that relationship where it's a comparison. In verse number 3, there's perverseness. Perverseness, that means crookedness, crooked ways. Transgressors, that means those who act faithlessly, unfaithful or treacherous. It's used in the Bible about those who are unfaithful in their marriage, transgressors. Wicked in verse 5, 7, and 8, that means those that are guilty. Or wickedness in verse 5, the guilt. Naughtiness in verse 6, it literally means one's desires or their lust. Naughtiness, unjust, the evil ones. Listen, I'm saying tonight, and I believe that those are terms that you are here tonight saying, I don't want those terms to define my life. I don't want to be known as perverse. I don't want to be known as a transgressor or wicked or naughty or unjust. Hey, listen, that's why we're here tonight, isn't it? We need a weekly reminder that every one of us are prone to those ways. And were it not for the grace of God, that's right where we'd be living. So it's obvious that the writer here, Solomon, is encouraging us and the Holy Spirit of God is leading us to go in the way of righteousness. In two short words, he's encouraging us to do this. Do right. Do right. And let righteousness be your guide. Let it be your guide. Let it direct your life. Look again at verse number 3. It says, the integrity. Everybody with me, say amen. Okay. The integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. Guide. The word guide there, as I looked it up, of course, it means to lead. But I like this definition as well. It means to conduct on one's life's journey. To conduct. To conduct along the way. This is the right way. What am I doing with our sons as they're growing up? I'm saying, no, that's not the way to go. This is the right way. It's like we're holding ropes for them. You got the picture back in your mind? We're holding ropes for them. Listen, you've got to do right, son. You got to do right in this situation. And for Angie and I, we've got to do right in situations. Listen, and if we're people of integrity, and if you're a person of integrity, your integrity will tell you what to do in those life situations when you're tempted to try to take advantage or have a shortcut or just try to meet your needs according to your way rather than God's way. Your integrity will guide you. It'll lead you. The Holy Spirit of God will lead you and guide you what to say and what to do and what to think and what to watch and what not to watch. I'm telling you, your integrity will guide you if you'll listen to it. The servant of Abraham said, blessed be the Lord. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Same word. In Exodus chapter 13, it talks about how the Lord went before them and he led them by the cloud and the pillar. He led them, same word. David cries out to God and he says this, maybe you're in a situation right now where you need the mind of God and you need to know what to do. Then you could pray this way like David did. Lead me, O Lord. lead me. You need God to lead you tonight? Every one of us do. Lead me, Lord, lead me. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I'm prone to get away from you. I'm prone to let something slide. I'm prone to try to get away with something. God, lead me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Did you hear that? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23. I love Isaiah 58. It says, and the Lord shall guide thee, same word, shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. The Lord will guide you. He will lead you. Righteousness, your integrity will guide you, will lead you if you'll listen to it. If you're saved tonight, now listen, if you're not saved, then you need to be saved because integrity and righteousness and a right way of living, holy living, listen, that is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking ourselves into this here tonight. We're fully reliant on the grace of God, understanding that we need His grace to respond in the right way. I'm not talking about our own manufactured integrity because we made ourselves out to be something, but I'm talking about living in light of who God is making us to be. Righteousness will set you on a right path. Set you on a right path. What are some of those ways? Well, let's just hit it real quick tonight. If you're listening to righteousness, it says it'll lead you, it'll guide you. Righteousness, integrity, all these synonyms. Righteousness will lead you in the right business dealings. A false balance is abomination with the Lord. You know what it's saying? God doesn't like it when people cheat people out of money. He doesn't like dishonest dealings. You don't like it when somebody cheats you, do you? Nope, we don't. God doesn't like it either. It's an abomination, he says. A false balance. In other words, they would carry certain sizes of weights as they would go to pay for something totally different than our situation today. But sometimes they'd have a heavier weight or they'd have a lighter weight depending on which way they needed it to go for their own advantage. God says, I don't like that in the marketplace. Hey, listen, God expects you to be holy, not just in the church house, but also at the workplace. In our day and time, it would be this. Writing down false hours that you didn't really work is an abomination to God. To say you worked 8 hours when you only worked 7 is wrong. To say you worked 8 hours when you worked 7 hours and 55 minutes, hey, be ethical about it. When a product is portrayed this way, listen, if there's something wrong with the house, you need to tell somebody about it. Something wrong with the car, you need to tell somebody about it. Don't sell a lemon on purpose. I get from this text, you say maybe a stretch, but I get from this text that lemons are an abomination to God. How about that? We don't like it when somebody sells us a lemon. They knew it wasn't good. You know how it goes and people trying to get one by somebody. Listen, God says that's an abomination. Do right, do right, do right. Even if it costs you in the long run, it's going to pay great dividends if you'll do right. Righteousness will lead you to be right in your business dealings. Many of you work a job, and you know once you've been at that job place for a little while, you can maybe see how to cut corners. Listen, do it right. Just do it right. Righteousness will lead you, verse 2, to walk in the way of humility, not the way of pride. Pride literally means just a boiling up of self-importance that leads to defiance and rebellion. Look at verse 2 again. It says, when pride cometh, when somebody thinks they can do what they want to do or they did it on their own, I did it my way kind of living. When pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. Shame. When you're full of self-importance, God has a way of knocking that clean out of you. Isn't that the truth? Some of the guys, the alumni yesterday, were reminding me of the time when I walked into the window at Heartland. Thought the door was propped open. Just dropped Dr. Art Wilson off, and I was a young preacher. I thought, man, this is awesome. I'm walking with the man. Bam! When pride cometh, then cometh shame. You see how it is? But then he says, but with the lowly is wisdom. With the lowly is wisdom. They walk low. They know what their place is. Listen, this doesn't mean you beat yourself up. No, that's not lowly. That's not what it's talking about. But it's saying this, you don't think about yourself. You're thinking about God and you're thinking about others. I read the story that a couple of ladies were wondering about Hudson Taylor. You know Hudson Taylor, great missionary, greatly used of God. They wondered, I wonder if he ever wrestles and deals with pride. So they went to his wife Maria and they asked Maria, Miss Maria, does Hudson Taylor, does he ever struggle with pride? She said, I don't know, let me ask him. And so she went and asked him about his struggle with pride, and he said, about what things? And she said, well, about all the things that you've done. He said, I didn't know that I'd done anything. He was acknowledging it was not him that had done these things. He had not done anything. God had done it. Righteousness will lead you to walk humbly. Isn't that what God says in Micah 6:8? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. When you walk humbly with thy God, you go through doors, not through windows. Yeah. Righteousness will lead you away from pride. Righteousness will lead you away from destroying your own life. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness, the crookedness of transgressors shall destroy them. Righteousness will lead you, verse 5, away from a fall. How many have fallen in immorality? Even in the ministry. How many have fallen into adulterous relationships and made such a mess of their family and a mess of their church and a mess of their workplace? And listen, it's such a bad light on their testimony on Christ. They fail. Why did they fall? Because they got lifted up with pride and selfishness, and they weren't walking in their integrity, and they were not allowing integrity to say, no, don't sit and talk with them. No, don't give them a ride by yourself. No, don't visit with them over the phone. No, don't text. Don't do that. Listen, they stopped listening to the voice of righteousness and went their own way, and they fell. And that can happen to every one of us in here tonight if we stop listening to the way of righteousness. I need ropes. I need ropes. In fact, I thought about it this way today. I need humility and I need integrity to hold me in place. To recognize I can't do this on my own. And if I let myself have my way, I'll destroy my life. And the same is true with you. You can't do this on your own. You've got to walk in humility and you've got to walk in integrity. Otherwise, you fall. Should go in the way of righteousness because it will direct your life. Number two, I want you to see this tonight. You ought to go in the way of righteousness because it will deliver your life. If it directs you, it'll keep you from some things. You say, well, I'm already in trouble. I'm already enslaved to my sin. I'm already dealing with that. I'm failing again and again. Listen, if you'll start listening to what is right and let God help you do what is right, He can snatch you out of it. I said, He can take you out of it. The word there, deliver, literally means this, to snatch away, to pull out. Well, how many times I was walking along as a little guy and following my dad, and I'd start to sink down in mud or whatever it was as we were trying to cross a creek or whatever, and he'd reach down and he'd snatch me out of there. But I want to thank God for the more than that, the numerous times that my Heavenly Father, and times that you could also give thanks to God for times when He snatched you out, when you cried out to Him and said, Lord, help me. Drawn out. I love that song, I'm sheltered by His grace, kept in a safe place. Thank God for how His grace can save a drunkard out of alcoholism and save somebody out of drugs and save somebody out of a loose, wild lifestyle. I want to thank God for that. But I also want to thank God tonight that the grace of God and the goodness of God has put these little boys and young ladies and girls and put them in a safe place in their homes and is protecting them and sheltering them by God's grace. Hey, listen, the righteousness of God will deliver you from keep even from those things if you'll keep listening. Do you see how this works? It directs you and thus it delivers you. Now, this is good, okay? There's two ways this can work. Either you stop listening to the voice of righteousness. Everybody understand what I'm saying by that? You stopped allowing integrity to guide your words and actions and thoughts. And as a result of that, you fell and you got in a bunch of trouble. And I want to thank God that God still loves you and He's still merciful to you and He can still help you and snatch you out and bring you out of that mess. But listen, here's the way it ought to work. This is going first class. When you listen to integrity, you walk in the way of wisdom, and thus you never get there in the first place. Prevention. Do right. Do right and you'll avoid that pit. Do right and you won't get out of church. Do right and you won't have a bunch of scars that are caused by sin. Do right and you won't come back to this church someday with a bunch of regrets. Do right! Do right! You're in a trial. You're in a temptation right now. You're on the fringe of getting into something you shouldn't do. Would you listen? Would you listen to the testimony of others who said, listen, you don't want to go there. I've been there. It's a dark place. It's a troubled place. It's a place where I was captive to my own desires. You don't want to go there. Listen to the word of God. Listen to what the preacher's saying. Listen, do right. Do right. If you do right, it'll deliver you from death. You do right, it'll deliver you from your own desires. Verse 6 says, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors are taken in their own naughtiness, their own desires. They're caught in their own trap. I think about Haman hanging high. Why? Because he desired to kill the Jews, and it led to his own death. I think about Daniel's enemies who said, everybody ought to just pray to King Darius and to nobody else. They did that trying to set up Daniel. And what did Daniel do? There was a dilemma. What did Daniel do? Daniel did right. He was guided by his integrity. He did what was right, and that guided his steps. It directed him and it delivered him. You say, well, it didn't really work very well because he got in a lion's den. Yeah, but didn't you listen in the rest of Sunday school class that God delivered him out of that? But they didn't let those lions go hungry. They fed the lions. How'd they feed them? They fed them with the guys that had the idea. Caught by their own naughtiness. And this is a little gruesome, but if I could just mention an illustration, but I understand one trap they use up in Alaska in a northern country like that to kill wolves. A wolf trap is just taking a blade, taking a knife, putting it in the snow, handle down, with a little bit of blood on the knife. You say, well, how does that catch a wolf? A wolf who can't stay away from blood comes and licks that blood. As he does, that sharp razor blade knife is cutting his own tongue and he's bleeding himself. And he won't stay away from it. And he goes after what he wants. And he keeps going after it and keeps going after it and keeps going after it till he bleeds himself to death. I submit to you tonight that Satan has a lot of things like that. He's got a lot of blades. He knows what you like. If you like pornography, he'll set it right out there in front of you everywhere. You can go after your desires. You like money, he'll put some things along your way where you'll be... I'm just telling you, he's got it out there. There's traps everywhere. But righteousness will deliver you from death. It'll deliver you from your own naughtiness. Righteousness will deliver you from wasting your life. Verse 7, don't waste your life. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. It doesn't matter how many rings he has, how many houses, how many cars, how many titles. When he dies, he doesn't have a thing. If you do right, you won't waste your life. You'll invest it. Doing right will deliver you out of trouble. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. I'm pleading with you tonight to go in the way of righteousness, because it will direct your life and it will deliver your life. I want to know what God wants me to do. Then do right, and he'll show you what to do. Should I cheat on that test? God help you, young person. Even if you bomb that test, I'd rather bomb it honestly than excelling. Now, I'm not saying bomb a test. I'm not encouraging you to bomb the test. In fact, if you do this right, you'll come out of it on the other side saying, you know, I really do need to study. And thus you grow. And you make a better grade next time. Because you studied and you were prepared. You weren't just winging it when you got there. Tell the truth on that reading report. Why? Because you'll be able to lay down at night and have a clear conscience. You won't have to call your professor 5 years later and say, hey, you know that reading report? Now, if that's what you did, then call him and tell him. But I'd love this to be preventative for you just to tell the truth and say, you know, I didn't read. I just flat didn't read. And I'll read it next semester when I take this class over again. What should you do when you get overpaid a little bit? Tell the person. Say, hey, you know, we agreed to this amount, and you actually gave me this amount. Have you ever had that happen? You know, maybe you're working a job there, and somebody gives you $100, thinking it's $10 or something. I don't know, but I mean, maybe it wouldn't be that bad of a mistake, but that, you know, what would you do then? Well, you ought to tell them. You paid way too much. You know what happens? If you do that, that person sees, you know, this is a trustworthy worker. I'm going to recommend him to others. And if you had been shady about it, you might have made $100 on that deal. But really, you would have lost a lot more than that. Whereas if you tell the truth, he sees or she sees that you're trustworthy, and he or she recommends you to her neighbors, and as a result of that, you end up making like $1,000. Does this make sense? And even if that didn't happen, still do right. Still do right. Do right when you're with your friends. Even if they're doing wrong. Do right when you're with your friends, even if it's your church friends and they're doing wrong. Do right. Do right if you're all alone. This sermon reminded me of a book that I had on my shelf by Dr. Tom Wallace. He's the pastor emeritus of the Franklin Road Baptist Church down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Man greatly used of God, still traveling around and preaching quite a bit. This book was written in 1984. Christian and Social Issues, 30 years ago. And I mean, he flat preaches in this book. The Christian and Alcohol. I mean, he has the Christian and Alcohol, liquor goes to court, takes liquor to court. God's the judge, you're the jury, but only God's going to rule. And he has the charges against liquor span from A to Z. A, it arms more villains. B, breaks more laws, corrupts more morals, destroys more homes, engulfs more fortunes, fills more jails, grows more gray hairs, harrows more hearts, incites more crimes, jeopardizes more lives, and then just keeps going on. The wickedness of alcohol. And then he has the Christian in smoking, the Christian in music, the Christian in humanism, the charismatic movement, pornography, homosexuality. And I couldn't help but just go ahead and turn over there and see what it was like in 1984. And some of the things he said then, and he recommended, he said, we must refuse to allow the quote-unquote gay movement to push us to a place of defense. We must refrain from trying to interpret biblical evidence in light of our present culture. We must reject totally the idea that a spirit-filled Christian can be spirit-filled and a homosexual at the same time. But this is what we're being fed now. Now, this was 30 years ago. And along the way, some have allowed their integrity to guide them, but others have said, you know, this is... And that's where we are today. Suicide, abortion, drugs, television, sex... He says, I sure hope a book like this could be a preventative maintenance to help save some young man or young woman before they derail their life, before God can use it. Do right. Let me ask you this as we close here tonight. How many of you would say, my life has been directed by that book? Did you raise your hand? My life has been directed. I've received direction from the Word of God. Would you say that? I've received direction. Okay, would you answer this? Has your life been delivered by this book, by God using this book? Your hands up. He's delivered me from all kinds of stuff. He delivered me from ever going into it. He delivered me. Some of you could raise your hand and you're saying, He delivered me out of it. Yep. Kenyon shared with our class. You saw him lift his Bible up. Shared with our class, he's been away from meth for, I don't know, I forget now how many years, Kenyon? 8 years. Grew up here at this church, got away from God. His life went way down, got in a real dark place. But God can intervene. And he gave thanks in our class for Larry Booth. Who is a man that directed his life and helped to deliver him. So here's my point. Here's the challenge, the final challenge. If your life has been directed by this and your life has been delivered by this, then now you stand in a place to help direct and to deliver others. Who are we tonight? We are members of Southwest Baptist Church. What does that mean? That means this. Our lives have been directed and our lives have been delivered to make a difference in a little boy named Jeffrey who's riding bus 2. To help him to see that God can direct his life and deliver his life. Why are there alumni here? They are people whose lives have been directed and delivered by God, and now they stand with youth, and they stand with ministries, and they stand with pastors, and they pastor to try to help direct and to deliver other lives. Moms and dads tonight, listen, we can't let them go out in this moral wilderness without a guide. And you're the God-given guide. It's not just your pastor and not just their Sunday school teacher. You're the one that's with them the most. You be their guide. Be their guide. It's dangerous out there. Perilous times have come. Direct them. Deliver them. God, we pray you'd help us. So much direction needed in our lives. So much deliverance needed in our lives. I want to thank you that through your word and the work of the Holy Spirit that you do direct us and you do deliver us. We can go on our foolish way. And I want to thank you for your mercy that saves us and sets us free and calls us back. And your love never changes for us, as we tried to emphasize Sunday. God, I pray you'd help us to stay on the right path. I know that that integrity shall guide us and righteousness shall direct us. And it not only does that, but it delivers us. Thank you for directing and delivering our lives, that you might use us to direct and deliver others. Help us tonight to point people to righteousness. Lord, help us in this invitation. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.